Hey there, welcome to the Creative Classroom Podcast. I'm your host, John Spencer. I'm a former middle school teacher, current college professor, and I am passionate about seeing teachers transform their classrooms into bastions of creativity and wonder. And today we're going to talk a little bit about why balance is critical for creativity and for being productive in your creative work. And I include teaching in the area of creative work because I genuinely believe that teaching is a creative act. And that part of what you do as a teacher is you are also a designer. So with that in mind, let's go ahead and dive in. And I want to share with you a little bit of a story, or a metaphor rather. Years ago, my friend Wayne gave me some great advice on balance and self-care. And although this was in the nonprofit world, I think it pertains to teaching as well. He said, John, people think about balance like a scale, but it's more like a high wire balance where you're also spinning tons of plates. You can picture that, right? The sticks with the spinning plates on top. I nod. He continues, the point is not to keep the plates going. You'll do that and you'll fall off the wire. The real point is to know which plates deserve to fall. That's balance. It's not a scale where you can easily move weight back and forth until you have something precise. It's more like a high wire balancing act with spinning plates, where if you focus too much on the plates, you'll fall off the wire. So you've got to figure out what plates need to drop. I've thought about that metaphor a lot. As a classroom teacher, I let certain plates drop. It took me a long time to get there, but I got to a place where I would say, you know, I'm going to let the data charts drop. Nice looking bulletin boards, who cares? That can go. Committee work, I'm going to do the bare minimum. And as a professor, I see many of the same plates dropping, and I'm okay with that. I'm okay saying that there will be certain parts of my job that just aren't as important, and I'm going to let them go a little bit. I'm going to value teaching over scholarship, for example, and that might hurt me a little bit in terms of tenure, but I am going to focus on being the best teacher to teachers that I can be. I'm convinced that balance is really all about this idea of knowing which plates to drop and which plates to keep spinning. And it wasn't always this way for me. When I was a new teacher, I believed I had to give 110% in everything I did. I thought that the best teachers were the ones who arrived first and left last. I was busy, always busy, taking all kinds of committee work and saying yes to every project. But then I had this moment where I broke up with busy. It happened when my son asked if we could play catch, and I said, I will when I have time. And I remember this was a moment when he looked at me and said, do you have time right now? And so I said, fine, I have a few minutes. And I went ahead and started to throw the ball back and forth. All I could think about was my to-do list. I had a department meeting to plan, papers to grade, small projects to finish, and I slipped on the baseball gloves. Something changed though. I forgot about my list. We tossed the ball back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And my son kept asking, is there still time? Is there still time? I couldn't answer him. I played way too long and I didn't finish everything I was supposed to finish. And I still had grading that was left to do, and I still felt like maybe there was something off. So that night I met with my wife and we talked about my schedule. It was a hard conversation. We talked about long-term priorities, what kind of a dad and husband and teacher I wanted to be. And then I realized something critical. I was chasing perfectionism. I was trying my hardest to make people happy, but I was neglecting the people that mattered most. I was spinning all these plates, and I was about to fall off the high wire. At that moment, I broke up with busy. I quit committees. I limited my projects. I set up curfew for myself on my work. I learned when to give 110% and when to give 10% or 5% or 2% on work. Again, I learned to let some plates fall down. So if I think about this, what I learned was that there was a difference between being busy and being productive. See, being busy is a lot about being hurried. It's overwhelmed, it's fast, it's careless. It's a hamster wheel that never ends in a sprint up the ladder without ever asking where it leads. But being productive is different. Being busy is about working harder, while being productive is all about working smarter. Being busy is about being frantic, while being productive is about being focused. Being busy is about being fueled by perfectionism, while being productive is about being fueled by purpose. Being busy is about being good at everything, and being productive is about being great at a few things and letting other things go. So there I was. I broke up with busy. I sought out balance, and I stood there coming to the conclusion that maybe I wasn't going to be the teacher I thought I would be. But the truth is, I actually became more productive when I broke up with busy. When I looked out for balance, I actually became a more creative teacher. I crafted better projects. I took creative risks. I started transforming my practice. I gave myself the permission to make mistakes, and therefore I started to innovate more in what I was doing. I became more of a maker in my own life, doing more blog posts and writing and getting back into drawing and working on fiction and all kinds of stuff that I had put off for a long time. And what happened is when I began to become more of a maker on my own, I actually became better at inspiring my students to be makers. I started to find a fulfilling life outside of teaching, which actually made me a better teacher. I started to shift towards student agency and empowerment. I had been spending so much of my time doing all the work for my students and not asking them to do their own work. And now suddenly, because I was limiting my time, because I'd broken up with busy, because I sought out balance, because I had let these plates drop, what happened is I started to ask students to choose their own scaffold, do their own assessment, peer assessment, and self-assessment. I started shifting from more work to less work at a higher quality that's more challenging. I started to learn how to lean on other people, how to be more optimistic, how to embrace a growth mindset, how to give myself permission to not be perfect. I became more curious again. I learned how to collaborate with other people. In other words, as I sought out balance, I became more creative and I became more productive, and that helped me be a more creative teacher. If you think about it this way, going back to that high wire act, it's all about embracing essentialism. It's about figuring out what is the most important work and focusing on that. There's a great book called Essentialism by Greg McKeown. And I'd like to share a little quote from it and just tell you that I'm going to be doing a book study on this later. I'll share some details at the end of this podcast. But this is what he wrote. Essentialism is not about how to get more things done. It's about how to get the right things done. It doesn't mean doing less for the sake of doing less. It's about making the wisest possible investment in your time and energy in order to operate at your highest point of contribution by doing only what is essential. This means focusing, end quote, by the way. This means focusing on the few things that actually matter and learning to say no to things that aren't essential. It's also the idea of choosing to engage in deeper work with fewer distractions and learning to say no when you are saying it out of an unnecessary obligation. It's this idea, again, where you are spinning only the plates that need to be spun, and you are focusing on balancing on that high wire, knowing that there will always be new plates that you could pick up and spin, but they're not what you need to be doing. There's a great diagram that he creates, and in one diagram, you see that your time and energy becomes scattered all over the place by multiple interests, and you're being pulled in every direction. But in the second one, you're going more in the single direction and actually accomplishing more. You can focus your time, attention, and energy on a few singular goals that you care about rather than frantically putting out fires. And I love that idea of essentialism. You're focusing only on the things that matter. But I also think there's this other part of balance that's important. It's actually vital for creativity. I've done a podcast on this before. I've written about this before. But it's the idea of rest. When you look at some of the most creative people, they rest. And so, again, going back to this high wire metaphor, rest is also about stepping off the high wire and getting into a building, setting the plates down, and just resting, just doing nothing. I love this idea of deliberately treating rest as a discipline. And that's what it turns out to be vital to creative work. When you look at some of the most productive and creative people in the world, they have something surprising in common. They rest. They tend to sleep a full 8 hours a day. Many of them work on a regular basis, and they meditate daily. You see this in history as well. Charles Darwin regularly went on these long walks just to let his mind wander. And you see this with some of the greatest authors and mathematicians too. Now, I get it. There's a certain luxury and even privilege attached to being able to do this. And it's something that teachers don't experience enough. You're in a profession that can be a grind where you don't get those breaks to rest. But the reality is, when you embrace rest as a discipline, when you find moments where you can rest, when you deliberately do things like setting a curfew for yourself or telling yourself you are not going to work on the weekend no matter what, when you do that, you actually allow yourself to be more creative. And there's research on how rest helps lead to divergent thinking. It's when your brain makes these really important connections. It's oftentimes when you play, and in the midst of this playfulness, you'll have those aha moments where you lead to creative breakthroughs. But it also leads to being more effective and being more productive. According to research, the brain gradually stops registering a sight, sound, or feeling if that stimulus is too constant over time. You lose your focus and your performance on tasks declines. In other words, just working more doesn't mean you accomplish more. At some point, you actually have diminishing returns. There's an interesting thing about how some of the least productive professors are the ones who work 30 plus hours on their research every single week. They actually produce a lower amount of journal articles than the ones who average 5 to 10 hours a week on their research, which I found fascinating. There is a great book on rest, and this is the piece I'm going to tell you about in a little bit. The book is called Rest, and it is one of the books in the last 2 to 3 years that has really shaped my thinking. I've become passionate about rest. I've become someone who tries my best to get 8 hours of sleep, who tries my best to go running on a regular basis, and I try my best to go on walks and make that a discipline, all because I know and I've seen, and the book gets into this, how rest is actually what will make you more productive and what will make you more creative. There's a quote from the book Rest where he says, "If you want rest, you have to take it. You have to resist the lure of busyness. Make time for rest. Take it seriously and protect it from a world that is intent on stealing it." If you're interested in a book club on rest, I'm going to start that in December. And if you go to this blog post, that connects to this blog, to this podcast, I'll be sharing all the details of the book club. But the bottom line is that this is not easy to find balance, and it's not easy to find rest. rest is a discipline, just as much as work is a discipline. And it takes courage to let the plates drop. It's going to mean that you sometimes have to say no to people. You sometimes let people down. It means that you sometimes have to narrow down your focus and figure out what you really think is most important. It means that you have to ditch perfectionism and choose an identity that embraces the fullness of who you are rather than some perfect ideal. The bottom line is that when you embrace balance, when you learn to walk on that high wire, spinning only the plates that need to be spun, you actually become more creative and you become more productive. You get more done. And that ultimately makes you a better teacher. I want to end by saying that this is incredibly hard. I made the mistake in the last 3 weeks of saying yes to too many commitments. It's not that I said yes to the things that don't matter. It's that I said yes to too many of the things that do matter. And I overcommitted myself in things that I love to do. And in the process, I'm worn. I'm tired. I'm at a place where I go, oh, I just need to rest. And so even though I had thought about doing a couple of projects in November and December, I'm actually putting a couple projects off. I'm deliberately telling myself I'm going to do less. I'm going to embrace rest and balance because I know that in the end, that will lead to creative breakthroughs. Thank you for listening to the Creative Classroom Podcast. If you enjoy it, would you leave a review on iTunes or Stitcher? That would mean the world to me. So, thank you for listening. Have a wonderful day and go out and make something awesome.